It's been a while, but I'm excited to do this. God told me what to do, so if it's a little corny, you're going to have to bear with me. It's His fault, but I think you get something out of it. You know, I always feel like when I stand in front of y'all that I'm preaching to the choir. Can anybody testify? Okay. Well, you're a good choir, and I love you. But I'm going to talk about something that arguably is like, duh, you know, like Ramon would say, you know this. Last week he said it like 5 times when he was hitting us with all this profound stuff. Anyway, we'll see where this goes. I want to talk about pruning. And this is where the corniness comes in, because I manage a nursery and we prune trees all the time. So, anyway, we all know the verse in John 15 about the true vine, right? Some of the things that it talks about in verse 1, that identifies the Father as the pruner. I was reading this from the Amplified because I thought it was cool the way that it was speaking to me. Verse 2, Jesus is speaking about the branches in Him. That's a kind of an important distinction that I made probably for the first time when I was reading this passage. He's not talking necessarily to everybody. He's talking about the people that are in Him. That's us. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. What's that mean? Takes away. I don't know. We're not going to go down that path, but it doesn't sound like a good place to be taken away from the Lord. I think that's fair. And then He says, every branch that continues to bear fruit, this is where I like the Amplified. He says, He repeatedly prunes, not just prunes, repeatedly prunes, so that it will bear more fruit, even richer fruit, and finer fruit. You don't get that from the regular version, but I think it's God's heart. You know, He wants us to bear fruit, but I think He wants us to bear more fruit, richer fruit, and finer fruit. And I think that pleases Him when we say, God, I know You want me to produce fruit, but I want to be the sweetest fruit that You can make me. He says, okay, buddy. It's going to take some pruning. Okay. All right. And if we go down to verse 11, He says, I have told you these things so that My joy and delight may be in you. And that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. That sounds like a pretty good place to be. You know, I'd like to spend every day of my life with my joy being made full, complete, and overflowing. Most days Hillary's asking me where it's at, period. Say nothing about being full, complete, or overflowing. But that's just being real. So, we've established the fact that He's talking about the vines that are in Him. And so I want to repeat that what I'm focusing on today is the seed that fell on the good soil in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. The one that hears the word, understands it, and grasps it. We'll deal with all the other ones some other time. So, now we got the props, so I'm going to bring them up one by one, use a little personification on you. Again, sorry if it's corny, but I'm just being obedient. So these five trees represent types of believers. They're a little heavy, so if I breathe loud while I'm doing this, forgive that too. This fine specimen is a maple tree. This is the balanced believer. And what that means is, this tree has had the proper balance of growth versus pruning. If you don't prune it, it just does what it wants to. Gets out of control. Doesn't produce fruit, or doesn't produce, what was it, rich, fine, more fruit. You're not going to get that. It's had many light prunings. So if I start down here, and you probably can't see this from way back there, but there's all kinds of little bumps and scars up this stem where we've cut limbs off to give it a nice clear stem to encourage branching up here so that it's got more leaves to take in the sunshine to feed itself, to make more roots, and to build a thicker stem. Because this tree can stand on its own. And that's balanced. If you can't stand on your own, you've got a problem. And one of the things that popped into my mind about the balanced believer is they typically listen and learn from wisdom. Let me say that again. There's all kinds of people out there that have been pruned all kinds of ways. If I listen to them talk about that, I don't have to go through that. Or I might have to go through just a little bit because I'll start down that path just a little bit and I'll say, hey, this is the wrong direction. Before I'm way down it, there's the mild pruning. Okay, God, thank you for keeping me from going way down that path. Help me bear fruit. And so it's a series of, you're still life. There's still a real world out there. There's still things you're going to do that you shouldn't do, that you don't want to do. But a balanced believer listens to the word, listens to wisdom, and understands when something's not right, examines it, accepts the pruning, and keeps going. Now I got to go for the underfed believer. I'm definitely not underfed. I'm glad that makes somebody laugh. So, this tree and this tree, same age, planted at the same time. You know, this one, like, it's real. Like, you know, this one is like, you know, it's like, doesn't hardly have a root. It's starting to come out of the container a little bit because it's not fully rooted. It's got a root. It's fairly healthy. But it hadn't had enough fertilizer or something about it. Just wasn't quite happy. We don't get to pick the environment we're in. Is that fair? So some people are perfectly happy. Just need a little fertilizer to come into what God wants for them, to bear the fruit that God wants them to bear. First Corinthians 3:5. Somebody plants, somebody waters, God gives the increase, right? Needs a little water, and God will bring the increase on those type of people. I got to go for the lost believer. Is that an oxymoron? Lost believer. Yeah, it's sick, right? I mean, the root is sick and the plant is dying. Represents those from John 15 that are in danger of being separated from the vine. Boo. And I think importantly, I'm not the greatest theologian, but I think when you get in this shape, like, you know what you're doing. You know that the path you're on is not the one God wants you to be on. And so at some level, you're conscious of that. And that's why you're sick. because it's kind of beyond pruning in some respects, okay? Anyway, that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my brother. The unbalanced believer coming next. I could use my pocket knife too. That's even cooler. So, well, let me just cut to the chase here. This is what happens to an unbalanced believer. You see that? So, it don't have half the leaves on it that it normally has in the summertime. But if I did that a month ago, it'd be laying over like this. And it's not balanced. Something's wrong with it. Now, the thing about an unbalanced believer, in Chad's opinion, it's kind of spectacular because you look at, again, same age. That one's like 2 feet taller. And they just grow so far, so fast. And it's like they got the perfect environment and nothing's wrong with them. And all they can do is sit there and grow. But that's not good. Because it's like gluttonous. It's growing so much that it's grown past its own good, if that makes sense. Sometimes these are held up by the bamboo of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. Yeah, because it's real. You know what I mean? We're not in like a spiritual Disneyland. And if we know somebody doesn't have the strength to be that big in God's kingdom, then, you know, we're not, this is where I got to watch myself a little bit, because we're not everybody's conscience. But we are our brother's keeper. And I think there's a place for having discussions in love with our brothers and sisters. And, you know, that discussion could pertain to any one of these scenarios. It's not just this one. But this one, for some reason, is just, it's been with me for a long time, that this whole concept here. Because you think about, I mean, you read the Christian news. I don't really read a lot of Christian news. But every time I hear about Christian news, it's talking about some megachurch pastor who flubbed the dub, right? I don't know. You decide. But something wasn't right. Okay? And we don't want that for each other. We got work to do. You know, things are, thinking back to last week when our speaker was here, which I wish I had that fire and the running back and forth and the sweat, but that's not me. That was fun to watch. And I love that guy. I mean, he's awesome. But things are accelerating. Is that fair to say? I feel that. I feel that deeply. I think Ramon said some of that kind of stuff last week. I think we've all been kind of picking up rumblings of that one way or another. So we need to be this. We need to help each other be balanced. And I think that's right. I think that's what family does for each other, is to help us be balanced. So who knows why the unbalanced believer is that way? He could have been fed too much and just gluttoned himself up there to prominence, whatever the case may be. He could have been held up by the bamboo of other believers or his family or something, where he didn't really get the opportunity to experience those minor pain points. He could have felt the shame of going down a path, and instead of turning He said, oh, this feels pretty good. Nobody will notice. I'm just going to keep going for a while. And that thing can't hold itself up. The tree ain't going to hold any fruit up. Okay? And, you know, if we're not producing fruit, what are we doing? Is that too blunt, if I can use Craig's word or his phrase? What are we doing if we're not producing fruit? I don't know. Sometimes following God's hard. But if you're going through all that and you're not producing any fruit, it's like, dude, what's wrong with you? That tree will become deformed if something's not adjusted. This particular one, we could prune the top back a little bit, prune those leaves in a little bit, give it a couple more years to kind of thicken the stem. It's not too far gone. But when this thing bends over to the ground and the stem breaks, what good is it? It's not only is it not doing anything constructive, it's unsightly. We don't want that. All right. The restored believer. Walked in imbalance for a time. Submitted to heavy, capital letters, exclamation point, pruning. So let me describe heavy pruning. This tree was like this one last year. Couldn't use it. About to throw it out. But since it had a root, root's important. Remember what the root is in John 15, right? That you're still connected to God. You can't see it from back there, but if you walk up here, this tree was cut at the soil line. Cut completely off. And a year later, it looks pretty good. So they typically have a scar that takes years or a lifetime to grow out of. It's got a scar. That scar will be there for a couple years. Who knows how long? Everybody's different. You know what I mean? The cool thing about it, it's fully capable of maximum fruit production again. And it might bear more fruit per year than this one over here. Like, that's a biological thing that I won't go into, but that's, to me, that's God's goodness, because it's His way of redeeming the time. Okay? But let me tell you something. You don't want to have that happen in your life. I don't know what the odds are of something like that turning into a well-formed tree. Because you have to choose to endure the pain, the whatever it was that had you looking like this. You got to give it all over. All of it over. You give half of it over, you might be this one or you might be this one. But you're not coming back to a fully formed, balanced believer. You got to give it all. And if you do, God will be faithful. And he'll restore you quicker than you thought probably was even possible. I don't know. Putting this stuff together, it's like I had like heart moments with each one of my props up here. You know what I mean? Because it's like we all know people that are in one stage or the other. We've all been ourselves in one stage or the other. We got to have grace. You know what I mean? We got to have grace. Because it's like, it's easy to talk about pruning. But how do you know when God's telling you it's time for a round? You know what I'm saying? And that's challenged me a lot the last couple of weeks when I was thinking about this. It's not easy to know when God's trying to tell you something. But if we don't listen and do it, then we're not going to mature, bear the fruit, please the Father. There was another in the Bible, it talks about circumcision, right? That is a form of pruning. Can I say that? It's a very personal form of pruning. Is that fair? Yeah. So the context of circumcision in the Bible is physical and the removal of some flesh, and metaphorical in removing the flesh from our hearts. Now, that might not be a bad place to start. Lord, what is the flesh area of my heart that is not pleasing to you? And Lord, if you'll help me identify it, I'll be faithful to walk with you so that you can carve that on out of there, so that I could bear more fruit for you. Acts 7:51 says that unpruned hearts resist the Holy Spirit. So wait a minute, let's catch this. If I haven't pruned my heart in a while, it's getting all that flesh stuff all over it, and I think it gets harder to hear when you're on one side or other of the line because it's not been circumcised. And Acts 7:51 says, when it's not circumcised, it resists the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants. That is, he will remove the desire to sin from your heart, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, so that you may live as a recipient of his blessing. So God will do it. And when he does it, we get to walk in the power, the love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All right. So we talked about pruning, you know, people in different phases of it. We've confessed that I've confessed that it's hard to know when God wants to do some work on you. I think he wants to do work on us all the time. I think he's gracious about it. Anyway, it's not always easy to tell when we need to submit ourselves to what kind of pruning. So what tools do we use? The pruning tools. Hebrews 4:12, the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, separates the bone from the marrow. I think that's probably the best one. Because you don't have to be like super mature believer to know how to read the Word of God. And if your actions are going against something that you've read in the Word of God, there's an area for pruning. The Holy Spirit is a pruning tool, albeit a little, probably a little more vague than the Word, maybe, for some of us. Maybe not for others, I don't know. But He's here to help us. He's here to help us run the race, produce fruit, right? And so I think that that's a tool that we could and should use to recognize when we need some pruning. And my favorite one, other believers. Man. Yeah. I don't want to be anybody's Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. This guy over here, he's my buddy. He's my friend. If I see Sean falling over like that, I'm gonna approach him in love, just like I know he would do to me. Let me tell you something here. I love Sean. I know he's got a purpose. We've had discussions about it. He knows I've got a purpose. We've had discussions about it. All right, whether he's my buddy or not, by his confession, God has put a call on his life. And if I see something that's going to keep him from fulfilling that call, I'm going to talk to my friend about it in love. At the end of the day, I can't make Sean do anything, but at least maybe it opens his eyes to an area that he needs to submit. It's between him and the Lord. But sometimes we have blind spots. I got blind spots. Why are you smiling? Mm-hmm. That's a big smile, too. Okay.
She's still smiling.
That's how you know it's bad. So we're singing in worship, right, about the evidence. How'd the lyrics go? I see your evidence all through my life. Okay. We sing about I'm no longer a slave to fear. Okay. I'm going to get real here for a minute because we're talking about pruning. Let me tell you some of my thoughts as we're singing those songs, because you get connected with the Lord and He starts showing you things about your life. If anybody can say that I've seen the evidence of the Lord all through my life, it's right here. And I mean, I know we all see Him, but I was just convicted as I could be that when we sang that song, it's like all this stuff starts going through my mind. It's like, I can't believe the Lord has done all these things. I can't believe He showed up this way and that way and the other way. Not just this last year, all through my life. Okay? Now, I'm no longer a slave to fear. We sang that one too. So when I think about the task before me of taking the risk to buy the business, you know, when you owe somebody several million dollars, that's like it's super easy for the fear to wrap itself around my heart. You know, when you're the boss, you're supposed to be invincible, right? Yeah, well, let me just tell you. I felt the Lord say, Chad, come on over here, buddy. Snip, snip. You got work to do. We got work to do. Now, that's a simple thing. But fear, back to His Word, He talks about fear, right? Is it from him? No. So if I'm feeling it, guess what that means? It means I need a little pruning. And Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, you are welcome to come right in here and take that fear on out of there, because I know that your evidence is all around me. Why would I worry about that? Yeah, it's another level. One I never even dreamt about. But he is interested in me producing fruit. Yeah. And so, because I've seen his evidence in my life, because I know that the word says we don't need to fear, because I know that it's an opportunity for him to bring me back into balance, fear can take you off the rail. And I'm just talking about one thing here as a personal example, but it can take you off the rail. It can make you make bad decisions that get you in a place that is even more uncertain, and it's kind of a compound effect. And sooner or later, you're just overcome by it, and you can't even function. Might be speaking from experience on this one, too, a little bit. But there again, I've seen the evidence. Yeah, I've been taken off the rail by fear. And the Lord pruned me, patted me on the head, reminded me that He's got a plan for my life. He reminded me that I'm in the middle of it. So don't sweat it. And that pruning brought me back in balance. I'm a little bit stronger. I don't have to worry about those cares taking me off course anymore. So then you strike out into new territory with new fears, and it's just kind of a process. It's a pattern you get into, you know. So back to learning from wisdom. Everybody in this room has wisdom from their walk. That's an easy one to listen to, because it was your personal, it's your personal story, it's your personal pruning that God took you through. And I just want you to remind yourself of some of those things for a minute, because you've conquered that territory. You know what I mean? So if we're still struggling with stuff that we've already dealt with, well, you got another opportunity there. You know, we need to be pressing on. The race that Apostle Paul ran, he wasn't just running in place. You know what I mean? He was going somewhere. He's doing something. He was advancing. And so if we're still battling with the same old, it's time to move on from that. So this is not a harsh thing. I think what makes sense to me right now is, Max, do you mind playing the guitar a little bit for me? I want to give an invitation. What this invitation looks like, I'm not really sure. But if you're like me, when we were singing those songs, and you looked at the evidence of the Lord all through your life, and you were reminded of one or two areas where, why am I still worried about this, God? When the evidence is clear, when your word is clear. I just want to make a space, okay? So I think just to keep it loose, I think there's something powerful about confessing. We're not going to pass the mic around and have everybody do this, okay? And if you want to do it right from your seat, that's okay with me too. But if you've got an area of your life that's been revealed that you need some pruning on, I think just coming and standing up here and let Max play this song then just let's give it over. Let's give it up. You know what I mean? Because I want to go forward with every single one of you into this, wherever we're going. You know what I mean? We're going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. And I know what y'all are too. That's why it's so fun to be part of the family of God with you guys, because we're going somewhere. And I don't want anybody hanging on to something that they don't need to be hanging on to, that's keeping us from moving forward and producing that fruit. So anyway, I just invite you to come up if you want. If you want to give it over, let's do it. Let's do it together. What's the word? Solidarity. I want to be in solidarity with y'all, so that we become these. Make lots of fruit. So.
John. Anyone else?
Let's all stand. Okay. Even if we don't go up, let's all stand.
All right. Well, Lord, I am very grateful that you prune us. I don't really even like saying that, but I am grateful. And I'm grateful because the evidence has been there in my life. And Lord, I pray that that you would help us be balanced believers. That you would help us to listen to wisdom, listen to your word, listen to your Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us and keep us balanced. And Lord, I also want to say that when we look around us, that our brothers and sisters, whether they're in this place, whether they're somewhere else, whether they're in our past, that you give us grace to restore people, that you give us supernatural grace to restore people who are willing to submit to you when they've gotten off balance. Lord, we want to build your kingdom. We want to produce the fruit that you've got for every one of us, the extra fruit, the abundant fruit, the richer fruit, the finer fruit. Lord, we want that in our lives because we want to honor you with it. We want to take it. We want to put it at your feet when we get to heaven, and we want to hear you say, well done. And I want to be standing with every one of these people in this body of believers and hear you say, well done, to each and every one of them, because we're mature enough to submit to your pruning and walk with one another. So we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all God's people say, again and again, I'm standing up next to my buddy Chad because amongst sinners, I'm the chief. I've been that. And I know exactly the spots on me that God needs to prune. And I still have a lot to be removed. And it's painful. So, that's... Chad, this was the coolest teaching I've ever seen on a very unpleasant subject. But it's like next week, Craig is going to come up and I'm going to, dude, where's your trees? Can't we? I almost want to leave him there. I swear, I could listen to that message 5 times over and get something new. It was fascinating. Y'all give Chad a hand. That's... Chad, thank you for obeying. That's all we're saying. Thank you for obeying. All right. If you need a tree, I know a guy. Don't take this one right here.